Okay, we'll start the Mesillas Yesharim from the beginning. Hakdamas HaRav HaMechaber. This is the preface of the author. And like we said, every word here is significant, so we're going to do it word by word and explain at least what I think are some of the things that should be pointed out. If you have something that you think should be pointed out or a question, ask. But hold the questions till we finish at least an idea, and then I'll give time for questions on that idea, one thing at a time. Omer HaMechaber. So Mechaber does not mean an author. Probably in the English translation says, the author said?
The writer.
That's not what it, Omer HaKosev would be the writer. Right, I don't know what the word for author is in Hebrew, but it's not Mechaber. Mechaber means the editor, or the compiler. That's a better word, the compiler. And it's very, very meduyik. Basically, the Mesillas Yesharim is not something that Chaim Luzzatto wrote on his own. It's not his ideas. He is not the author of this. He is the compiler of it. He brought these things from many sources and put them together. The word chibur means something that you put together, a compile. Same thing, the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch has a mechaber. It doesn't have a kosev, an author. The Rabbi Yosef Cairo didn't make up the Shulchan Aruch. He compiled it and collected it from many sources and put it all together. So he's called the mechaber. Right? He's not called the kosev. He's not the writer. He is the mechaber. And that's why this is a chibur. This is not an original work. It's a chibur. It's a compilation of various sources from Chazal. Okay. So Omar HaMechaber, HaChibur HaZeh Lo Chibartiv L'lamid L'vnei Ha'odem Es Asher Lo Yodu. The purpose, first he tells you what the purpose of this work is not. It's not to teach you necessarily new things. If you're looking for new ideas, new things that you didn't know before, this is not the purpose. So don't be discouraged if these are things that you heard before or that are seem to be well understood and simple. Ella, so what is the purpose of this work? Lahaskiram, to let people know es hayadu lahem. Kvar, to remind people of things they already know, but seemingly they forgot. Umafursim etzlam pirsim gadol. Not only are they things they already know, but things that are obvious to them. They're well-publicized things. Okay, we'll see the difference between the two. Kilo simtza barov devorai, ela dvorim sherov b'nei odem yodim osam. You won't find in most of what I'm writing, that means that in some of it, there is things that are new ideas. Right, things that people would not know on their own and would have to be told, right, this is something, not that it's new, but something that most people don't know, and I'm revealing to you something that most people don't know. So some of those things, there are some things in this Sefer that are not known. And most people, what's it called, know these things, but there are people who don't know these things. So therefore it's very possible today, but since there are things that everybody can find new in the Sefer, and there are things that some people, right, will find new even if they're well known to other people, it could be that to the audience he was writing in his time, that was true. To us, we're like the minority of people that most of these things are going to be new to us. So it could be that we'll find a lot of things that were not obvious and were not not to be taken, what's it called, for granted. But not because the book was written differently, but because he was dealing with people that rove of the people knew these things, and they knew rove of the things. There's still a milt of the things they didn't know, and a milt of people that didn't know other things too. There's a milt of people who maybe didn't know most of these things. Today, that milt became the rove. Today, most people who opened this book didn't know about these things before they saw them. So therefore, if we find a lot of things here that are new ideas that we're going to have to discuss and not things that just we need to be reminded of, that doesn't mean that what he said is not true. It was true for the people he was addressing to at the time, And unfortunately, we're like that minority of people in his time became the majority of people in our time. Dvarim, so what is contained here? Dvarim sherob b'nei odom yodim osam v'lo mistapkim. They know them. There's no doubt about them. They're not in doubt. They're things that people know. Ela shekfi ro pirsumam u'keneged masha misosim galuya l'chol ha'helem mehem motzri me'od v'hashik chorab. He says, because they are so obvious and so well known, people forget them or they ignore them. They ignore them or they forget them. Let me explain what that means. What is ignoring them and what is forgetting them? And we'll see that this is very significant in what Mussar is all about, what the purpose of Mussar is. Forgetting does not mean that you don't remember it at all. It's completely forgotten. Forgetting means that you don't appreciate the importance of it. You don't, it doesn't make an impression on you. You can forget something and just file it away in the back of your mind. It's not in the front of your mind where it's something that is important to you. You understand it, you know it, you know that it's important, but for all practical purposes, you've forgotten the importance and filed it away into the recesses of your mind. That's called forgetting. Forgetting is not that you don't remember it at all. Forgetting is that it becomes not something that you consider important, enough to consider. Not because you don't believe it's important, but because it's just been filed away. It's not something that you have time to deal with. It's not relevant to you at this moment. The proof to that is, we always bring the proof, that it says that Rivka tells Yaakov Avinu, I want you to run away to my brother and stay there until Esav will forget what you did to him. Now, it's unreasonable to think that Esav would ever forget that Yaakov took his brachas. Right? One day, walk up with amnesia. Right? Wake up with amnesia. He doesn't remember the chalal, that little incident in his life when his brother stole his brachas. He's going to remember it the rest of his life. But there will come a time when he'll file it away, and it won't be the most important thing in his life to take revenge. It'll be there. If you ask him about it, he'll tell you. But it won't be something that he considers important enough to do anything about. So that's called shikha. That's called forgetting. Now, helem, ignoring, is a different thing. Ignoring is, forgetting is from the thing itself. Right, and then yeshiva shaloshim, that's the cheftza. The object that you know, the idea itself, becomes vague and not important. Helem is from the gavra. The person ignores it. It could be that what's it called, I know it's important, whatever, but I just choose to ignore it. I have other things to get involved with. It's not that the actual idea is minimized. The idea may not be minimized at all, but as a person, I choose to ignore it. I know it's an important thing, and I know it's in the forefront of my mind. At the same time, I choose to be involved in other things and ignore this completely. That's called helem. Helem is from the person's standpoint, and shikha is from the thing itself, from the intensity of the idea itself. Okay. And that's why he says, helem motzui and shikha rabba. Helem is motzui, right? It's common. And a shikha is great, because shikha is something of degree. So you can have greater shikha, lesser shikha. Mashenkin helem is something that the person does. Not a question of degree. It's something either you do it or you don't do it. It's either more common or less common. One is in degree, echus, right, shikha, and one is in kamus, in quantity, and one is in quality. So the rabba, right, shikha rabba, is what's it called in quality, and matsui is in quantity. Is it something common or not common? Does it commonly happen or not commonly happen? Okay. Alkane, ein hatoeles hanilkat mizeh hasefer yotzim min akriya bo pamachas. Since the purpose of this work this chibur, this compilation, is not to make you discover things that you didn't know before. If that was the purpose, then reading through it once, you'll discover those things by finding a treasure. You didn't know the treasure, now you discovered it. Fine, you finished. Now go on to something else. You discovered the things that you didn't know that were here, and that you got the purpose. But since the work doesn't contain many things that you didn't know before, just things that you forget or ignore. So the purpose is to make you not forget it and not ignore it. And that's not a one-time thing. Because if it's only one time, then after that you'll forget it and ignore it again. So therefore, the benefit from this work, since its purpose is to remind you and make you not ignore, right? Kikvar efshir shelo yimsa hakori besichlo chidushim achar kriyoso shelo hayu bo lifnei kriyoso mat. Because it could be that after you'll read it through once, you won't find too many things you didn't know before. So like I said, the purpose wasn't to discover new things. And then reading through it once, you'll have gotten the purpose. You've discovered the things that you didn't know before. You'll read it through and you'll say, hey, I didn't get too much out of this. All right, what was the purpose of reading through this? I knew all these things before. All right. El aval hatoelis yotze min hachazora olo v'hasmoda. The purpose is reached by reviewing it and by being diligent in studying it. And that addresses the two things that he said happens, why he wrote it. Forgetting and ignoring. Okay? If you go over it over and over again, then you won't forget. Right? And if you're masmid, or you won't ignore it. If you go over and over again, you won't ignore it. And if you're a masmid, meaning you're diligent in what's it called, in learning and making it have an impression on you, then you won't forget it. It won't be something that doesn't make an impression, something that you don't realize the importance. If you're masmid and you go into it deeply, then you'll remember the importance. Again, that is the quality. The quality of the knowledge is diminished by forgetting, and the quality of the knowledge is increased by being diligent and learning and appreciating the things. That's it, appreciating them. By being a masmid, by being diligent, you'll appreciate these things more. So that will counteract the forgetting. And by reviewing it, you won't ignore it. And that will counteract the ignoring. Right? So the purpose of this work is to be reviewed and to be diligent to learn it in order that you appreciate what it says. Not to discover new things. So therefore, going through it once is not going to accomplish either of those things. But reviewing it, going over and over, right? And not necessarily learning it through and then going again, but as you learn it, to review the things, go over them, and to learn them in a more qualitative way. Quantity by reviewing, quality by going into it more, will achieve two things. It will make you, by going over it again and again, not ignore it, and by qualitatively going into it and appreciating it, then you won't forget. You'll appreciate the thing and not forget it. Like we said, forgetting it means not appreciating it. It doesn't make an impression on you. That's what he says. This will remind you of the things that are forgotten, and that's by, being masmid, and you will, remember the importance of these things and not ignore them, right, by reviewing them over and over and over again. That's the way I understand this thing, how things go together, right? And basically, therefore, the purpose of Mesilas Yesharim, and therefore the purpose of all Musar, is two purposes. One, to impress upon you the importance of the things that you shouldn't detract from their importance, so mainly you forgot them, you just filed them away, and to remind you of them so you don't ignore them, that you take them to heart. And that's talk of what the Or HaSofim says, the Alter from Slabodka, in his Hakdama to Sefer Dvorim. He says that what is the purpose of Sefer Dvarim? All the other Svarim of the Torah, you know, tell us new things or whatever. All the halachas and the mitzvahs and the stories. Dvarim is a repetition. But Dvarim is tochacha. It's Musar. And the purpose of the Musar is exactly that. The purpose of Musar is to bring these things to a person's attention, not his knowledge, his attention, right? And that he should, what's it called, not ignore them. He should understand how important they are, and after he understands how important they are, he shouldn't ignore them. You can still ignore things that you think are important, because you have other things that are more important to you. So you can understand the importance and still ignore it. You cannot ignore it, but not understand how important it is. Musar is both things. Learn first how important it is, and then that it should make an impression and go into your heart that you shouldn't, what's it called, ignore it. And many mitzvahs, the osos, he says, are like that. Mezuzah, tefillin, right? These things are, you should constantly pass these things by and not ignore them. And inside there's a parsha that if you remember what it says and you go into it, you'll understand the importance. So those are the two aspects of Musar. Learning about something and realizing how serious it is, and after you understand how serious it is, so you don't forget it, don't ignore it, bring it to heart. Again, one is in the idea and one is in the person. The person shouldn't ignore, and the idea shouldn't be minimized, understood with its full significance. Those are the two ideas.
There's a section from Musa, and the brother is describing, he explains this is the Musa-based pilot, Lima to Musa, which is only one stage. Another stage, you're learning the things, so you have the repertoire of knowledge, of ideas, in order to be able to buy. So then you review it, as the brother's been saying, in order to make an impression on you. And then when you do it with Maisa, then that makes it part of you.
Okay, but we're talking only now about the learning part.
Right.
Talking about learning is Silas Hashar. That's what the learning of Musar is. And that's what we said. Learning the ideas, not because they're new ideas, but if you learn them, then you'll appreciate their importance. You'll understand what it's all about. Right? You won't forget it. That's one idea. The second idea is that if you learn it with in a way that makes an impression on you, you won't ignore it. So those are the exactly what Rabbi Soslanter says. That's exactly the point. That's what he's saying. He's saying that the learning of Musar has two parts. One is that you learn the ideas and realize the importance. That's the intellectual part of the learning. And then there's the emotional part of the learning, where now it makes an impression on me, I won't ignore it. One's in making it, making an impression on the person, and the other one is appreciating the knowledge itself, the concept itself. One's in the concepts, one's in the person.
Both of these two things are both part of that middle section. So it's just the reviewing of it. It's not the ideas. It's just the reviewing it has these two parts. I'm just saying it's not all of them. It's just one of three sections.
No, it's not. It's everything except the application. It's what he says, learning Musar b'Shpailus, and the reviewing includes all these things. This is what it is. It's reviewing it for the sake of understanding it properly. That's understanding the prophet. That's the review. The review is also to not forget it and to be appreciate how important it is. And the way that you learn it is that you don't ignore it. That's learning with b'Shpailus. It's all the drachen that he says except for the application. The application is not the learning. We're talking about the learning. We're talking about the application. Okay. In the Iyunim, the one I have from Cheskel Sarna, he says that what's it called, that Torah is compared to a fire. There's two things in Torah, by learning Torah, that helps to counteract the Yetzer Hara. One thing that helps to counteract the Yetzer Hara is a natural, logical kind of thing. You learn the Torah, makes an impression on you. All things we said psychologically, logically, by going over something and learning it in a way that makes an impression, so you understand the concept better and you don't ignore it. But there's also a school. There's also something that's beyond rationale. The Torah itself has a light in it. Leads a person to good, that counteracts the Yetzirah. Barasi Yetzirah, Barasi Torah, it's a certain skula. It's not a logical, rational thing. It's beyond rationale. The Torah itself is an antidote to the Yetzirah. So he said, just like in the rational part, going over it and reviewing it and taking it to heart rationally will help you to counteract your Yetzirah, right? That's the rational part of Musar. But similarly, Torah is like a coal. If you just leave the coal the way it is, you don't uncover the flame that's within that coal. But if you turn it around, you turn it around. That's why it says by Torah, hafochba v'hafochba. Keep turning it around. Because every time you turn it around, you'll release some more flame. And that flame, aside from the rational reason why it'll help you to do what's right, there's a super rational reason that will also help. Every little bit of ore, every little bit of flame that comes out of the Torah is an antidote to the Yetzer Hara. And by being a hafachba, by turning it around and moving it around and revealing more things, which is the review of what you're learning over and over again, will give you that school, will give you that super rational aid of the Torah against the Yetzer Hara, as well as the rational. It works both together. Okay. That is enough for now. Any questions on this, or statements, he'oras, or whatever? Yeah.
One question. What's the order? The Moser, so obviously, first counteract Shichra, then Helam.
Right.
But the Nihil of Herkin is Kach Helam Mehem Matzalehoza Shichra Rabbi. Why do you put Helam before Shichra?
Change the order. One second. In the beginning, he said,
right. The Mutzer does the opposite.
Yeah, it could be, just off the top of my head, it's a good question. Right, Lachara, he should have kept the order. Right, but it could be that before you forget, forgetting happens in time. Helam can be immediate. You can choose to ignore something right away. So when we're talking about how it works, the natural progression, first comes a Helam, then in time comes a Shikha. But when we're talking about now that you already have the Helam and the Shikha, so you get the thing back first, by learning it, you raise your, sensitivity to it, that takes away the Shikha, and only later does it really make an impression that you stop ignoring it. So when we're talking about how you forget it, first comes the Helam, then comes the Shikha. We're talking about getting it back, right? Or the fact that once you have both, the Shikha precedes the Helam.
Does the Helam really come first?
Yeah, a person doesn't need time to ignore something, but you need time to forget something. Yeah.
Is that the difference of vision? Is there another difference between learning something new and learning something you already know? What's the importance of that besides the revision part?
No, there's two different things. Learning something new, seeing something you didn't know before, is the greatest kind of remembering, right? You only didn't know it and doesn't make an impression on you. You didn't know it at all, right? But many things people know, and for all practical purposes, they don't know what they know. So that's that there's an importance of learning new things, because that's the ultimate forgetting. On the other hand, learning things that you know already are no less important than learning new things, because for the most part, they're forgotten. So that's one idea. And then there's the idea of, even if the thing you're sensitive to, but you just ignore it, then there's an idea of learning in a way that makes an impression on you. Not qualifies the thing you're learning, but affects you, so you don't ignore it. As we said, there's one part that's in the person and one part in the thing. So it's important to learn new things, but not as interesting tidbits of knowledge. Because if I don't know that, I can't function properly. And if I know that, but I don't appreciate it, I can't function properly either. So in that respect, learning new things is also important. But learning new things just because it's interesting knowledge, that's not what we're talking about. That's a different kind of learning. We're talking here learning Musar. Sometimes learning new things is important, because otherwise you don't know how to function. And learning the things that you know but don't appreciate is just like learning new things. For all practical purposes, that's a new thing. and then learning things that you do know and you do appreciate, but you choose to ignore, that's also part of Musa. That's basically what we got in this paragraph.
Everyone says, is it color of a teva that a person will forget? And why does it say ha adam?
Lamid with neho adam is a shayado.
If a person
doesn't make an effort, right, to remember something, then he's gonna by nature forget it. That's the way the world is. That if people don't make an effort, like shikha is part of nature. And if you don't make an effort to constantly sensitize yourself to things and constantly be aware of them, then by not doing anything, inevitably you're going to forget. Yeah, that's part of the teva of the world.
Rabbi, how come it says ha adam?
B'nei ha'adam is talking about human beings. It's not talking about ha'adam. B'nei ha'adam is because that phrase, it goes together. It's part of the way the world is since the chait of Adam Arishon, because it says that the world went back to the way it was before the chait of Adam Arishon when the Torah was given, and there wouldn't have been any forgetting. So vice that had the world not had the chait, there wouldn't be forgetting. There would be no purpose to forget. Everything would be constantly fresh to a person. But once the chait was there, people had to work on perfecting themselves. So the Rebbe Mishim put forgetting into the world, just like we find that after the chait ha'egel, forgetting came back. It seems to imply that if it wouldn't have been for the chait of Adam HaRishon, there wouldn't have been forgetting. So that's why it says, Mibnei ha'adam, right, since ha'adam, meaning Adam HaRishon, all Bnei ha'adam, the shikha is a natural phenomenon. But had it been before the chait of Adam, then shikha would not have been a necessity, and it wouldn't have been a natural phenomenon.
Is this kind of a shikha is someone with a photographic memory?
Yeah, even somebody with a photographic memory. Again, shikha, just like it doesn't mean that you forgot it completely, you can remember it 100% and either choose to ignore it or that makes no impression on you. Right? You can have a photographic memory, you can have a photograph and carry it around with you, you know, in your head all the time. So, nice, there's nothing to forget, but you still either ignore it or you don't appreciate the importance of it.
There seems to be more of these sensitive.
If we're talking about knowing the knowledge, then the photographic memory counteracts that. If we're talking about Musar, where we're talking about being sensitive to something and not ignoring it, having a photographic memory doesn't make it any easier. Just the opposite. Probably makes it harder.
So isn't that like Helam?
No. Helam is you can ignore it, or you can have a photographic memory and you're not sensitive to it. You know it, you remember it, but it's not as important to you. It's not as important to you as it should be. The other one is, I know how important it is, but you choose to ignore it. One is, I don't realize how important it is. Helam is, I don't understand how important it is to me. Two different things. One's in the Gavra, one's in the Chefza. Okay, two separate things. I can understand something's important, it's not important to me. Or I don't understand something's important altogether. That's shikha. And helam is, I may understand it's important, but it's not relevant to me. I choose to ignore it. It's important, but not somebody else,
so
not for me.
Shikha really is less of a memory thing. It's just...
No, exactly, as we said. When it comes to Musar, it's not forgetting, it's being insensitive to the thing. And helam is, I can be sensitive to the thing very nicely, but it's irrelevant to me. I choose to ignore it.